You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Now, we are not your typical how to do SEO podcast. No, we are not. With the help of our guests, we cover those all important topics around career development, personal growth, and mental health for those working in the SEO industry. You got to be working on your own internal algorithm. Like what we did there. So if you like the sound of our podcast and you think this is a bit of me, shall we crack on with this week's episode? Hello and a very, very warm welcome actually, because it's very toasty in the UK at the moment, to the SEO Mindset Podcast with myself, Sarah McDowell, and the ever so fabulous Zen Queen, that is Tasman Suliman, with episodes going out every single Thursday. This week, I am joined by Sangeeta Pillai, an activist, podcaster, writer, and speaker. Sangeeta is the creator of the South Asian feminist platform Soul Sutras, has won many awards for their Masala podcast, and gets quite a lot of press coverage. And whilst that is very impressive, what is the most important to Sangeeta is the hundreds of messages they get from people who tell Sangeeta their work has changed their life. This is such a great conversation as we talk about how to navigate difficult situations. Now, whilst you can't avoid these, you can be better equipped to deal with them. Sangeeta shares her real life experience and also gives practical strategies that you can start to implement. If you enjoy what me and Tasman are doing with the podcast, you can support us. We are set up on Buy Me a Coffee. A link in the show notes will allow you to give us a virtual coffee, so you'll be able to physically pay a one-off donation. And word of mouth is the best way to spread a podcast. So please do spread the SEO Mindset Podcast with your friends, family, loved ones, hey, even your pets. Before I play this episode, just a warning that this week comes with a trigger warning. We talk about alcoholism plus mental and physical abuse, which does involve a child. So listener discretion is advised. Are you ready to get into this week's episode? Then let's crack on. Hello and a very warm welcome to Sangeeta.
Hi, it's absolutely lovely to be here with you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to spend. So we're recording on a Monday. It's not early morning, sort of like mid-morning. So appreciate you spending time with me. How's your morning been so far?
Frazzled, Sarah, is the first word I would use to describe it. That's just, you know, when you wake up sometimes and you've got like a million things and you've forgotten half the stuff you were supposed to do. I've had one of those mornings.
Oh, God. Well, hopefully onwards and upwards, right? Things will only get better from here, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. So today we are talking about how life can throw some curveballs. And we can't be in control of those curveballs. However, there are things that we can do to sort of best deal with these curveballs, or when situations arise that we have to navigate so that they don't become all becoming and take over. So yeah, let's start at the top. So life does throw us some curveballs and we can't avoid it, but what we can do is be better equipped to deal with them, right?
Absolutely. And also to look at these curveballs or problems or whatever as, I don't want to come across as some sort of self-help guru, but, you know, if you look at them the right way, you look back and you think, wow, that awful thing happened or that terrible thing happened. But because of that, I did these five other things that completely changed the trajectory of my life. That's how I feel. That's how it has been in my life.
The worst thing that you can do is let whatever that situation is to win. I completely understand that you have to deal with the emotion and you have to have some time to process that. but you can't let it win and not so much hold a grudge, but you can't let it overtake your life.
I have a slightly different point of view on this. I feel like maybe it's an Eastern versus Western kind of way to look at it as well.
So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, stuff happens. And in the West, we're taught that here's the thing, it's happened. Now, how are you going to get on top of it? And how are you going to defeat it? And how are you going to kind of emerge victorious? And I feel like my own thinking, and maybe this is an Eastern way, is to sort of really sit with it and not have a kind of try and sort of say, how am I going to beat this? I don't think that's the kind of language that I use. The language that I would use is to say, okay, here's this difficult thing in my life. What is it showing me? What can I do with it? How can I sit in this uncomfortable place rather than try and escape it or run away from it or numb it, which is what most of the kind of the world we live in, and maybe not just the Western world, but the world we live in says, okay, here's a discomfort or a difficult thing. What can I do to not feel that thing? What can I do? And they tell you to sort of, I don't know, medicate yourself, but medication looks like getting drunk or going shopping or whatever your numbing coping strategy might be. And we are taught to use those. But actually, what I think it does is it prevents us from really sitting with it, acknowledging it, accepting it, allowing it to sit in our bodies and our minds. When we do that, what happens is we understand what it's trying to show us. And when we move away from it, we've actually, I don't want to say learned the lesson, but accepted it, found out what it's trying to show us, and then we can move on. Whereas strategy number one, which is like, right, I'm feeling like this, I'm going to go use my favorite numbing strategy, which could be all good things like exercise it to health, drink it to health, to shop it to whatever, or to escape from it in some way. When we do one of those things, we never really learn what it's actually trying to teach us, really. So, and it keeps coming up again and again and again, that thing that you're trying to run from, really.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's about getting... I don't know whether this is going to sound cheesy and corny, but I can imagine this on a t-shirt, right? But get uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. That's what we're sort of saying, aren't we? Because
that's exactly what we're saying.
It's easy to run away from it or numb it or have sort of ways that we can make ourselves feel happy, but you're not dealing with the root cause. You're not sitting with it. And of course, I mean, do you think, why do we find it so tricky? Is it because we're not taught how to do it, or is it a human nature thing? What do you sort of think, or is it a mixture?
I think it's both of those things. One is we live in a society that tells us that we must be comfortable all the time, whereas that's not life. We cannot. It is impossible for us as human beings to be happy and comfortable and at peace and enjoying lives every second. And then nobody, what you brought up, Sarah, which is I think is beautiful, which is we are not taught this. We're never taught, whether when we're kids or when we're adults, to sort of say, to sit in discomfort. The messaging always is, I mean, and look at our society. We live in this hugely consumerist world that's like, hey, feeling bad, why not drink this drink? Or hey, feeling shit about yourself, like here, buy this dress that's gonna make you feel amazing, or go on a dating app and get, you know, this dopamine rush. You know, we're always taught to live in this adrenalized dopamine chasing kind of society, and we're taught that that's normal, when in fact that is absolutely the opposite of normal. So that's one thing. So we're never taught. So we don't know how to do that, right? And the second, I think, is a physiological thing, like our bodies, when we are in distress, go into fight or flight. I mean, and most people know this kind of now. It's we fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Those are the four responses that our bodies have. and when something feels, and our brains a lot of times don't know the difference between real danger and perceived danger, right?
Interesting. Stress, yeah.
Stress is seen as danger. Our brain just says, right, danger, danger, danger. I need to run away. Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And actually, it's just this physiological thing that your body produces because we haven't evolved. So we've got mobile phones and technology and we're talking about AI, but actually our bodies haven't evolved beyond thousands of years, millions of years. It's been the same thing. So we're still carrying those bodies in the world. So when your body is saying, right, run, freeze, fight, whatever it is, actually it's just a response. And what we have to do as, you know, as we evolve, as we become aware, as we kind of go into the world, we're like, okay, but is that really true? It's a question to ask yourself. And a lot of times, like, you know, like on this, a great example is this call. So, you know, before Sarah and I got into our, you know, podcast recording, we had some technical difficulties, as, you know, a lot of us do. And my body might be saying, right, Sangeeta, oh my God, danger, danger, danger. There's stress because what's happening in our bodies, the adrenaline levels rise, right? Which is created in our bodies to run from danger. It's when the tiger was chasing us back in, you know, a couple of million years ago, we needed the adrenaline to run from the tiger. But the stress produces exactly the same thing in my body. But then instead of getting like, oh, hyper, what I need to do is to say, hey, hang on a minute. It's just technology. It's just a thing that isn't working. Take a couple of breaths, you know, like fix it. And which is what we did. And here we are recording this podcast. So I think it's, so in answer to your question, it's both of those. It's we have never been taught how to sit with discomfort.
Yes.
And not just never been taught, the world is designed to make us escape from discomfort because that's what the whole consumerist model is based on. And then again, we've got a body that hasn't really changed in millions of years and it's going to produce exactly the same kind of physiological symptoms. So then it's up to us to say, hang on a minute, is that really danger? And 9 times out of 10, it isn't.
You spoke about fight, fright, freeze, or fawn. I'm aware of the fight, fright, and freeze, but I've never heard of fawn. What is fawn?
Fawn is people pleasing. So we learn when we are in danger. So if, say, I feel like, Sarah, you might attack me, one of my responses might be to say, hey, Sarah, you know, like, oh, you're lovely, and I'm trying to placate you. That's fawn. That's the fourth response.
I am a massive fauna. Is that the right? Can I say fauna?
Fauna. We might have created a new word, Sarah, but I love it. Fauna. I'm a fauna.
I'm a fauna. In the example that we gave of we had technical difficulties, and for me, the danger for me is upsetting you. I think that is where my danger comes from. So, of course, that sits with the fawn. But as soon as you said that, I was like, of course. Like, and I think a lot of people sit in this people pleasing because something that I've been taught or something that society has taught me is you've got to do well by others. You've got to lift people up. You've got people have got to like you. You've got to find your tribe. You've got to find your friends, your community. So I imagine everyone is fawning all over the place. That should be a t-shirt, shouldn't
it? Absolutely. And Sarah, women, we learn very early on to make everybody else around us happy. And I bet you we have more of a fawn response than men do. I'm like, I don't know the stats or anything behind it, but because we are programmed by society to always ensure that other people are happy with us. It's kind of built in, like we've seen our mothers do it, our grandmothers did it. And so that comes very naturally to us to say, oh, I need to make sure that Sarah's happy, or Sarah needs to make sure that Sangeeta's happy, or, you know, whatever. And I think that's a huge factor in my mind.
Definitely, definitely. And it's really hard to unlearn something because to me, I'm mid-30s and there's a lot of my behavior that is just habitual because I've just learned to do it. And I just know how to do that. It's my first point of call to act that certain way. And something that I do find hard, so I'll be open and transparent. So when I reached my mid-30s, I decided to have some therapy and some counselling because I was like, I need to deal with me. I need to figure out why I act in certain ways. I need to self-awareness. I need to figure out what's going on. And it's so... what I find easy, and we will take a short break in a minute, and when we come back we'll be talking about practical strategies, but what I find really hard is I'm getting more aware of my behaviors, but it's hard to stop doing them. That's the tricky bit, isn't it?
That is really tricky. There's something I've read that always helps me, that gap between reaction and response can make all the difference. So when you are aware and you're like, oh, I'm doing that thing again, just the awareness opens up in our minds an opportunity to say, but I don't need to do that. I'm reacting like this, but my response doesn't need to be like this. I'm only reacting like this because that's my conditioning. So it's such a small, but it starts with awareness. And I think if you are aware, Sarah, which sounds like you are, it's like, oh God, I'm doing that thing again. And then that's the opportunity to say, but I don't need to. I'm going to correct myself here because I don't want to be doing that. There's a huge, it might be a couple of seconds, but those seconds can really give us the opportunity, I think, to change something we may not be happy with.
And also, and last point, and then I will take us to our first break, but another thing that really resonated with me was your point about chasing dopamine, because in the society that we live, dopamine is so easy to reach for. And if you look at all the adverts on the TV or adverts when you listen to podcasts, adverts on the radio, it's all about making yourself feel happy. And aware that we're in a bit of a cost of living crisis right now, we won't get into that because that's a completely different subject, but most of these dopamine hits are easily accessible and we're not talking about a lot of money. So of course, again, a lot of people are going to reach for that, aren't they?
Absolutely. And again, the world we occupy is full of it. Our phones, how many minutes do we, how many hours in a day do we all spend on our phones? And that's dopamine. They're designed. Social media is designed to keep us hooked and scrolling and give us dopamine hits every, and you know, I do this a lot. I know I'm doing it, but I still can't help myself. And again, it's not my fault. It's not your fault, because we are being, you know, our physiology is being used against us in many ways. And, what you said, turn on the TV or listen to a podcast, is ads getting you to do things, because again, it suits other people to keep us like that, because then we are willing consumers, you know, able to buy and spend, you know. I'm sure there's a whole, like a dopamine heavy society, I'm sure, if there's such a thing. I don't know if I'm making that up, but
and also just going back to the earlier point, so these quick, easily accessible dopamine hits, they work in that moment, but they're short. They only deal with it for that short period of time. And I think possibly get into this more when we share some more strategies in part two. But if you can sit with the uncomfortableness and unpick it and sit with it, work with it, figure out a solution, you won't get an instant dopamine hit that you're used to, but the long-term effects are going to be better for you. Would you agree?
Absolutely agree. And it's only in that space without the constant hits that we can even start to see who we are, what we want, how we feel, what we think.
Which is scary for some people. And I think it's really easy to say, let's be more self-aware, get to know yourself. That's easy to say, but I think sometimes even getting to know yourself is a little bit scary, which sounds bonkers because it's you, it's the body that you're living with. But
it
can be, because it's eye-opening, isn't it? And you might uncover some stuff that you don't like, because we're all humans, we're all messy, but I'm sure that you'll find out stuff that you actually quite like about yourself. So I suppose it's a bit of a balance, isn't it?
It is, it is. And it's really scary for most people, you know, to go there, because it's just so much easier to just not go there.
But then I suppose if you don't go there, your last point, and see what you think about this, but if you don't go there and you're not brave, then you're always going to run into problems when it comes to work, your personal relationships, your romantic relationships, your work relationships, you know what I mean? Like, until you do the work, you're always going to come across obstacles and stumbling blocks, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll also find that the same issues keep coming up under different forms. Like, I've noticed that in my own life. If you don't deal with a thing, whatever that thing might be, it will keep coming at you in different angles because you haven't dealt with it.
That makes me smile, because my partner Tash, she's quite a spiritual person, and she'll always say, oh, it's a lesson from the universe, Sarah. If you don't deal with it, the universe is going to keep passing it your way. And I'm like, okay, yes, I will deal with it, Tash.
I agree.
Lovely. Well, this has been a cracking first half. So let's take a short break so our listeners can digest the information and start thinking about some of the points that we've covered. But join us for part two, because we'll be discussing some practical strategies, won't we, where people can get better at feeling uncomfortable. You probably already recognise this voice, but Sarah here. Are you enjoying what me and Tasman are doing and fancy supporting the podcast? Well, it just so happens that you can. Now, for the same price as a Starbucks, Costa, or your favourite coffee shop coffee, you can give us a one-off tip or a monthly donation. If you fancy doing that, follow the link in the show notes. Why not also help us share the podcast? Get the word out there. Share us with your friends, colleagues, family, anyone who you think would benefit from our podcast.
Hi, Tasman here. Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Be more visible, earn more, but also take care of your well-being and have work-life harmony? Well, I can help you, because I'm offering you a free 30-minute consultancy call. Together, we can go through where you want to be and how to get there. Simply click in the link on the link in the show notes, fill in a form, and I'll get back to you.
Introducing Clear Narrative Media, a purpose-led media marketing agency that transforms how founders, creatives, and organizations share their stories online. Dedicated to assisting you with all your marketing content and strategy needs. Their services include photography, consultancy, and social media management. Clear Narrative Media is here to transport your visions to life. They are on a mission to help you to create awareness, build visibility, and enhance your business and professional growth overall. For more information, head over to their website at CNMEDIAA.com or follow the link in the show notes. Welcome back for part two. Sangeeta, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Sarah.
Wonderful, wonderful. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and it makes me sad that we're already at the halfway point. It's gone far too quickly.
I know. That's a sign of a good conversation, I think.
It is. Definitely. Okay, so What I think would be really good now is to give our listeners some practical strategies that they can implement to help them deal with obstacles, curveballs, helping them get better at dealing with these situations. So it'd be really good to hear sort of a couple of your strategies, and maybe if you feel comfortable sharing an experience of where you had a curveball or an obstacle and what you did to sort of navigate that.
Absolutely. So I've had quite a few curveballs in my life. And, you know, I'd like to share because I think it always helps to hear what other people are going through for everyone to sort of say, okay, that's something that happens to me too. Or so I grew up in a slum in Mumbai. I grew up with a violent alcoholic father, with a lot of violence in my life. And I didn't deal with it. And I kind of just got on with it, like we're told to get on with it, like got my jobs and, you know, worked in India, then moved to Singapore, then worked in the UK and things like that. And I kind of had this life where I was going out with my friends and partying and, you know, whatever. And one day it kind of all came to the surface. I had like huge panic attacks and anxiety and depression and things like that. And I used to work in advertising back in those days. And I literally had to quit. It was that bad. But you could look at this and say, oh my God, that's such an awful thing to have happened. It's a 25-year career, right? But I now look at it and think it's the best thing that ever happened to me, which is an awful thing to say. It's like the panic attacks and anxiety were the best thing that ever happened to me. Because what it did, it forced me to sit in the discomfort. It forced me to sit with the emotions. It forced me to really look at my life in a way that I had never done before. And I went on this huge kind of healing journey of, you know, traditional psychotherapy and alternative therapies. I've tried everything from like acupuncture, craniosacral therapy, tantra. There's loads of things that I've done to sort of do exactly that, to sort of understand myself, to understand how my experiences, particularly my earlier experiences, shaped me into the person that I am today and created some of these isms that I'm not really happy with. You mentioned the people-pleasing, Sarah. That's been such a big part of my life. But the kind of healing journey helped me understand that and also be kind to myself. You know, a lot of us will say, oh my God, why am I like this? It's awful. And it's not. You've become like this to cope with what your life served up. My people-pleasing helped me live. I mean, I had to please my father or be kind of, you know, in a good place because otherwise I would have died. You know, it was like, it was literally that. So it's a direct result of my life. And to sort of be compassionate to myself to say, hey, that's where it's come from. But we almost like me talking to myself to say, hey, we don't need this anymore. Sangeeta, you know, at this point in her life doesn't need to please everybody. So then to sort of allow that to happen. So that's kind of been my experience. I write about it in the book that I'm writing. It's called Bad Daughter, because that's kind of defined my entire life, because I was this meant to be this good Indian girl that, you know, listened to her family and had an arranged marriage and had a nice, safe job. And I did none of those. So I kind of always was the bad daughter in my life. So that's what the book is about. And I also write about all the ways that I sought to heal, because I knew there was an issue. And I tried therapy and it didn't entirely work for me. And so therefore I explored other modalities, because I feel like we're not just the mind, and psychotherapy just focuses on the mind. A lot of trauma sits in the body. So I decided to explore a lot of body-based healing methodologies. And I write about all of it in the book because I want other people to read it and benefit from it. I kind of did the research so other people can kind of understand and see what might work for them. Because we're given this one example of healing, you know, like I talk about this in the book, you know, you're really messed up and you wake up drunk and then one day you decide to fix yourself and you go to the psychotherapist's office and hey, presto, you are fixed. And it never is like that. You know, we're taught that that's how it works, but that's not how it works. For a lot of people, for me particularly, that's not how it worked. So I had to look at other modalities, which I did. And, you know, it's transformed me, transformed my life, transformed my work. my relationships, everything. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. But in terms of like, if you're not ready, and a lot of people might not be listening to this, might be like, oh, I've got shit to do. I don't really have the time to either go to a therapist or look at acupuncture or look at alternative stuff like Tantra that I did. So what I would urge you to do is to start small, to start with things like meditation. Take 10 minutes and it doesn't need to be anything crazy. You know, turn off your devices, sit and just close your eyes, focus on your breath. And it can just be as simple as like a 2-4 breath. So hold, count for 2 when you breathe in and count for 4 when you breathe out. And what you're doing with something as simple as that, when you increase the exhalation, you're telling your body that you're safe. And automatically the kind of crazy erratic thoughts will calm down because that's how our bodies are built. And that's meditation. It doesn't need to be. You don't need to kind of go to Lululemon and buy like expensive leggings to do meditation, right? You could just sit there, close your eyes, put on music or not put on music or whatever it is, right? And just focus. Give yourself 10 minutes every single day. It can be the beginning of the day. It can be the end of the day where there is no other distraction and see what comes up.
Mm.
So that's a really simple, practical way you can start to sort of look at what's going on inside. Another really practical kind of tool is something like keeping a journal. They call it journaling, but literally all is it is like take a notebook, keep it next to your bed. First thing when you wake up, like scribble notes, or last thing before you go to sleep, scribble what's coming up for you. And let it be like a free-flowing thing. It doesn't need to be very, no one else is going to read that thing but you. So as long as you can understand what you've written, that's all that matters. And then if you go back, like I've kept a lot of journals, particularly when I'm going through tough times, I write things down. And now when I go back and look at the journal from like 4 years ago, I'm like, man, that was happening. God, that was so nuts. And I can see how much I've evolved since then. And that's all that journaling does. So these are two simple, practical, easy to do things in your own life that you can start to implement like tomorrow. It's so simple.
I have scribbled so much stuff down here, so much stuff. And I just want to start by saying thank you for trusting me and our listeners and being so open and transparent about your experience. And yeah, I'm sorry, doesn't even cut it to hear that you had that experience, but thank you for sharing that. And it's good to hear that, yes, you're in that place, but you have managed to get out of that place. And of course that would have been a journey, and you've picked out some great tips that our listeners can have a go with as well. But yeah, there's two things when you first shared your story about being kind to yourself. I think that is easier said than done, because we are our worst critics, aren't we? And someone gave me some great advice once. If you wouldn't say it to a friend or loved one, don't say it to yourself. So that's a great thing to start with. And how you sort of said that your people pleasing helped you in your situation. And I think the things that we could beat ourselves up about and being like, oh, that's my people pleasing ways, that's this way, that's that way, don't beat yourself too much up, because that was a coping mechanism or a survival mechanism. Like, you learned to do that because you needed to, and actually there's skills in it. Yes, you need to be aware of that behavior because you want to keep it in check, but remind yourself that that is a skill that you've had to learn to help you in a situation.
Absolutely. And So in my particular instance, obviously it was life or death, and I learned. But even if it's nothing that dramatic, always remind ourselves that what we have become is a direct consequence of the lives we've had, the people we've had in those lives, you know? We don't just pick up these ways of being. They form, you know, they form from our childhood. They form from our parents. They form from like experiences around us. And we develop these as a coping strategy. And it serves us then. And that's important to tell ourselves, like, hey, look, it's not just because I'm useless that I can't do this thing. I've been doing this thing because I needed to do it then. I no longer now need to do this. So maybe I don't want this anymore. And do you see the difference in the language?
Mm.
And that in itself will tell your brain that instead of saying, hey, you're shit, you're always doing this. Versus, hey, look, you that was so good and that was useful and that helped you, but you no longer need to do that anymore. Very different tone.
I think, yeah, mindset and changing how you speak to yourself. Because another example of that is if you're not good at something or you're learning something, rather than saying, I can't do this, I'll never be able to do this, just by putting yet at the end gives you time. It's a learning curve. Like, people aren't burnt experts at things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if I might jump in, like, it's all relevant to what we're talking about. Like, I'm shit at technology. I'm a podcaster, right? And I always say this, I had to Google what a podcast was because I didn't really know what a podcast was before I started my own. And instead of saying, oh my God, this thing, and it scares me. It used to scare me. It still does. It's like, oh my God, here's this new thing I've got to figure out. But by just saying that, you know, I've done other things that I didn't know and I figured it out. And so therefore, this might seem really huge right now. But I will. Because and remind yourself of all the times that you didn't know something or you were scared of something. And now you're not. So if you could do that, you can do this. And that's how I did. Like, you know, I kind of taught myself how to create a podcast. And, you know, I stood watch these kind of young white dudes talk about Hitman and stuff like that on YouTube. And it used to just like, oh, my God, but that's like, I can't do that. But you do. You have.
And you've just got to go for it. You've got to try these things because you only get better by doing. And this is, I don't know if this is a weird way to go, but in my brain, I'm thinking when you're a baby, you don't know how to walk. You have to learn that, right?
Yes.
You don't come out the womb talking either.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Even if I might be a little bit gross.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know how to shit. Like, somebody has to teach you how to shit, right? None of us knows anything. We learn.
I did not think we would be having this.
I didn't think I'd be talking about shitting on this podcast either, Sarah. If anyone's eating lunch or dinner, I do apologize.
Right. I'm going to rein us in a little bit. I'll rein us back in.
From the sublime to the ridiculous, yes.
It's all relevant. It's all relevant. We are massively running out of time. We just need to get you back, don't we, and talk about this more. But two other things. So you talk about breathing. I love, I know this is going to sound silly, I love breathing. There are so many breathing exercises that you can do. And I first got into doing these when I was first doing speaking gigs and stuff, because of course I was new to it, so I was nervous and I had this nervous energy in my body and I needed to deal with it. So that's when I first got into breathing work. And it sounds bonkers, but doing these breathing exercises really do work, because it helps you center your body. It helps you give you a moment to just be like, So if we're thinking about an obstacle or something tough that you have to deal with, so give an example for our SEO listeners is, I don't know, say you've got to deliver bad news to a client, or you're doing your usual reporting on performance and things aren't looking good. Before you need to dig into that, take a step back and take a breath. Or say there was a moment, I think it's still going on a bit, but redundancies will happen in the SEO industry. Again, that's a hard situation to deal with. So just taking a step back, having a breath, processing. And I love journaling as well, because just getting something out of your brain and down onto paper. It doesn't have to be paper and pen. You could also like type it if you want to type. But that's cathartic, isn't it? Because if you get it out your brain, because what's the saying? Things will stick rent-free in your head, won't they, if you don't get them out and on paper.
True. And there's something about the act of putting it down somewhere, then it is no longer this big problem that sits in your head. It's outside of you, in a sense, you know?
Definitely. Yes. And of course that's going to help, because you also said about things sticking in your body. So trauma. So of course, whatever experience, no matter what it is, that trauma is going to sit within your body. So by doing these two things, for example, it's starting to acknowledge that, isn't it? And working on that.
The breath, the breathing, Sarah, that you said, it actually signals to the body that we are safe. Because when we are unsafe, our in-breath is, you know, that's the in-breath. That's when you're unsafe. But when you're, that's safety. That's literally signaling to your brain that you are safe.
Which will then
make everything calmer. And when you're calmer, you think better, you act more rationally. So that's the science behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it completely makes sense though when you're talking about it, right? Of course that is. Right. We are massively, massively running out of time. I'm just enjoying this conversation too much. So there are a set of questions that we always ask our guests. But before I do that, you mentioned your book, Bad Daughter. Quickly tell us about that. When is it that going to be available? Where? All of that like fun stuff.
So it's going to be available very soon to pre-order on my website, soulsutras.co.uk. And the launch date is the 5th of September, the physical kind of book. But I'll have pre-orders kind of running on from kind of mid this month up until then. It's the story of my life. It's a memoir for every woman, is how I see it. I call it the memoir for recovering good girls. Because it's about the bad daughter, because society tells us as women, we've got to be the good daughter, the good sister, the good girlfriend, the good wife, the good mother, the good everything. And all our energies are spent in being that person rather than who we want to be and go after what we want to do. So I share my life story. I talk about some of the stuff I've already mentioned here, growing up in quite horrific circumstances, but the feminism being the fire in my soul and kind of not listening to anything that anyone else was telling me, but creating this life for myself, eventually moving to the UK, creating the podcast, creating the platform that I run, which is Soul Sutras, but having a lot of mental health issues that really debilitated me, and then going on this massive healing journey to try and, you know, understand myself. And I'm hoping that the book is useful to everyone reading it, to say it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter. And this directly links to the theme of your podcast, Sarah. There will always be bumps. That's life, right? I had big bumps in my life, but you can always get to where you want to go. It doesn't matter where you begin, you can get to where you want to go. The destination is kind of yours to choose, as long as you do the work. That's kind of the message of it.
Nice. Well, I'm very excited. I can't wait to get my pre-order in. But yeah, what I'll make sure is we always pop links in the show notes. So whenever you are happening to listen to this episode, because it might be during the pre-order or you might be listening when the book is live, so just check the link in the show notes and you'll be able to see that. So are you ready for our usual questions that we ask all of our guests?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It'd be awkward if you said no, so I'm glad you said yes.
At this point.
Okay, so key takeaway from today, please.
That we all have bumps in the road. And we might think that we are alone in kind of dealing with it, but we're not. And you've mentioned stuff that you're dealing with. I've mentioned stuff that I'm dealing with. And I'm sure every single person on this planet has stuff that they're dealing with. So I think how we are all in it together, I think that's my biggest takeaway.
I love it. Yeah, could not agree more. Second question. Best career advice?
Don't listen to anyone. No one knows what they're talking about. This is very broad and I'm not going to sit here because everybody will tell you they know better, but no one knows you like you do. And that applies yes. to life and career. So think yes. about who you are, what you want, what your inner voice is telling you rather than the external.
Yeah, because there's nuances, isn't there? Of course, everyone Absolutely. Has their own Everyone has their own experience. Everyone has their own situation. So, I mean, could you take inspiration or is that no?
Yeah, you can hear what everyone else is saying, but then you put the filter of your own kind of sense of who you are and what you like and who you know yourself to be and pick and choose. Okay. You know, in every industry there's, even in podcasting, we're told like, right, that's the way to do it. There isn't one way for everybody. We're all exactly. different.
As long as you're getting, as long as there's an outcome.
Yeah. And whatever your outcome needs to be, again.
Yes. It doesn't matter. All that matters. It doesn't matter if it's different from someone else's.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Okay. And then the last question is someone awesome to follow and why?
I think in context of the conversation we've been having about kind of mental health and helping ourselves and things like that, there's someone I follow called the Holistic Psychologist on Instagram, Dr. Nicola LaPera, that's her name. And she's written a couple of books, also How to Be the Love You Seek. And, you know, there's lots of things. But what I really like about her, she breaks down quite complex psychological concepts into very easy to understand, useful kind of things on Instagram. So follow her if you're kind of on this, you know, self-awareness, mental health kind of journey. I think you'll find it really, really useful.
Amazing. Well, I could speak to you for hours, but unfortunately... Unfortunately, that is time. We're just going to have to get you back at some point, aren't we?
Absolutely. Very happy to.
And we won't have the same technical issues that we had.
No, we would have figured life out by then.
If only it was that simple, right? Lovely stuff. Right. Well, thank you very much to Sangeeta for spending time with me and sharing her experience and knowledge on this subject. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in and listening each week. The only thing left to say is if you do enjoy what me and Tasmin are doing with the podcast and you want to support us, we are set up on Buy Me a Coffee, so you can give us a virtual coffee. You can give us a one-off donation. Link in the show notes if you fancy doing that. And word of mouth is the best way to spread a podcast, I reckon. So the next time you listen to an episode and you're thinking, give me a name, Sangeeta, any name. I know I've put you on the spot here.
Name of
Give me
of
a name,
what?
Yeah. Just a name, a person's name.
Clara,
okay. And you think, Clara, this would be a banging episode for you. Find Clara in your contacts, find the link to the episode and share it with them. That was a very outside the box way of doing that call to action. So I hope you enjoyed that. But yes. And yeah, so Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, and until next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking to create awareness, build visibility, and enhance growth for your business, organization, or yourself? Introducing Clear Narrative Media, a purpose-led media and marketing agency that transforms how founders, creatives, and organizations share their stories online. Dedicated to assisting you with all your marketing, content, and strategy needs. You can find them on all social media platforms and online at cnmediaa.com or follow the link in the show notes.